Very pleasant good morning to you. I'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. We'll be starting there in just a few moments. You may wish to place your marker there, as I'll return to the book of Deuteronomy a few times in the lesson. We're thankful for your presence. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here and hope that you'll follow along in Scripture with us as we consider some things from the Word of God. During the patriarchal period, God's will was not written down. He chose to reveal His word to the patriarchs, the fathers of the households. It came to them verbally and in visions from God. There was no written law. And this lasted some 1,500 years from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. We see in that period of time that worship to God involved animal sacrifices on altars, and there was a good understanding about how to be righteous in His sight. But not all has been related to us from that period of time. Beginning with the Mosaical covenant, God chose to write His law. It was a change of the covenant, a new law that was limited to the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites. In this law, God gave all the instructions for the priesthood, how to worship Him, how to receive atonement for sin, how to live in righteousness. Many hundreds of commands are given, starting with the Ten Commandments, which God even wrote with His own finger on tablets of stone. We know during this time God actively used inspired men, Moses and Joshua initially, but also judges and prophets. Why the change to the written law? That's what I want us to consider today. Why do we today, under the new covenant, have a written law from God? So look with me in your Bible at Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's read a few verses there together. In verse 1, it says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal-peor. For all the men who followed Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God so near as is the Lord our God whenever we call on Him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and He wrote them on two tablets of stone. the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might perform them in the land where you are going to possess it. I want you to notice a couple of things in this reading. First of all, in verse 10, remember the day you stood before me. Hear these words that you may learn to fear me all the days of the earth and teach your children. God wants us to hear his words. That's why he's given them to us. He wants us to hear them, and he wants us to learn to fear him for all of our life. That's going to be the result of hearing his words. And he wants us to teach them to our children. That's the importance that we're going to see in God's word. We want our children to know this. We are to obey God's will. In verse 1, listen to these statutes and judgments which I am teaching you to perform. In verse 2, he says to keep the commandments of the Lord. In verse 6, that you should do thus and keep and do them, verses 5 and 6. In verse 13, he's given this covenant that he commanded you to perform. There are things that we're supposed to do, which is in obedience to God. Even in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, in verse 1, he says, hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I'm speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. God knows his creation. He knew we would need to hear his word in an authoritative way. So he proved the word was his and not Moses's. He wrote it on tablets of stone with his finger. And God required that this written law be heard. Look with me again in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And read with me beginning in verse 9. Deuteronomy 31. And beginning in verse 9. Scripture tells us that Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the children, and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. So every 7 years, God required a public reading of the law of Moses. That would have taken hours to publicly hear. Read the law so that they may learn it, that they may fear God and be careful to observe all the words of this law. And their children will learn it as well. Not just that their parents are telling them something, but they can hear what God has said. This is exactly what Ezra did in Nehemiah chapter 8. Look there with me for just a few moments. Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm not going to read all of this opening, but some of it. Beginning in verse 1, it says, all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And now in verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat and to drink and to send portions and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. The people heard and learned God's will, and they feared God, and they grieved at their disobedience. And from that time forward, they obeyed God's will. God goes so far in his law to say that he wanted the leaders of Israel to know his law. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God told Joshua, This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. This law shall not depart from your mouth. There should never come a time when you stop talking about the law of God. There should never come a time when you speak something that is not the law of God. He was required to be familiar with what God wrote. Those words were written in the book of law. They were not miraculously given to Joshua, as they had been to Moses. He also had to read and know the law, just like we do. That's God's will. And as the spiritual leader, his words were to be the words of God. So God instructs him to meditate on the law day and night. What a great example for us, that his care and his obedience would ensure God's blessings on that people. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, if you have your marker there still, in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and in verse 18, listen to what is written in the book. It shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom. In other words, when the time comes when Israel has a king, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or the left, so that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. God required the king to write a copy of the law in front of the Levitical priest. That would have taken many days, where he would have to go in and write the law. Well, we would think that's kind of strange. Why would God do this? Isn't reading it enough? Tyler spoke for a few moments this morning of how much more memorable it is when he wrote it a few times. God knows us as his creation. He wanted the kings to be intimately familiar with what he had said. So important, God inquired him to do this in front of the priest. There couldn't be any cheating. He couldn't hire someone else to do this for him. God wanted the word impressed on the king, so much so he required that he read from it daily, so that he would learn to fear God and observe what God commanded That's why God gave the written law, to learn to fear and obey Him. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 18, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, heaven and earth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." He is referring to the law of Moses in this passage. Through all the captivities, the battles of Israel, God preserved His written law. The people were never without the knowledge of God's will as long as they would listen. The old law has now been accomplished through Jesus Christ. The covenant has changed, but God still chose to provide a written law for a purpose. Now, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's read in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 3. Paul the Apostle, by inspiration, says, "By revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. When you and I read the Bible, we can understand what the apostles received by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They had a miraculous understanding of the things of God. We can understand as much as the apostles. That's amazing. We are reading the revelation of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, Paul writes, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." They were praised for hearing it as the word of God. We read the word of God. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, Scripture says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Friends, we live in a society that generally is literate, able to read, and still the instruction is given. And so we give attention to the public reading of Scripture. This is why my lessons are heavy on Scripture, because it's the Word of God we need to hear. God wants us to hear and know His Word. That's why He wrote these things down for us by inspiration. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, "The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." What are we looking at? We are looking at the perfect law, the law of liberty. That is about the new covenant that comes to us through Christ Jesus. What we generally read in our New Testament. This is the perfect law of liberty, that we can read it and abide by it and not forget it. That's how we're going to be blessed from God. God's purpose in giving the written word has not changed. The question then becomes, do we have a heart to listen? Do we have a heart that's willing to learn to fear Him and obey Him? God didn't write this new covenant on tablets of stone. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 quotes from Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. And it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God does not miraculously put his laws into our minds, but he has chosen to write them down for us. His intention in writing the law down was to cause them to be written in our heart. Now, this was the desire of God in giving the Mosaical covenant. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be as frontals on your forehead." His words were to be on our heart. Words which God commanded, which they heard and they allowed into their hearts. So strong was this acceptance into the heart, they understood the need to teach them diligently to their children and bind them on their heads and hands. They were to have regular reminders about the Word of God, and that was to help them keep the Word on their heart. In Deuteronomy 11 and in verse 13, Scripture says, "It shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." We see that language many times. Then down in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 11, he says, "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, shall bind them as a sign on your head, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up." Again, see the teaching. They listen to the commands. They've impressed these words on their hearts. Impress in the King James is translated laid up. And that means to put something in place. And the language is indicating that this is something we have to do. Once again in Deuteronomy chapter 30, looking at verse 11 of chapter 30, he says, "This is the commandment which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear that we may observe it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it." How did it get in their mouth? How did it get in their heart? God gave a written law. He intends for it to be in our mouth and to be in our heart. This was always God's design. Most of Israel did not do this. But Ezra did. In Ezra 7 and verse 10, it says, "Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach it." He set his heart. He prepared his heart, King James says. He had the heart that God desires all men to have, to want to read his word and know it in their heart. And it's in their mouth teaching it to others. David writes in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." I think David understood a lot of things that we often don't think about. When I'm tempted, I'm not usually staring at my Bible. I don't have my phone app open and I'm reading a scripture when I'm tempted. When I'm tempted, that's when I need the word in my heart, that I know what God has said and I know how I'm supposed to behave and I know what God wants me to do in this situation. God wants this law to be written in our hearts. That hasn't changed in the new covenant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 2 with me. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. The apostle says to the Corinthians, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." He indicates the Corinthians were a letter from Christ, if you will. Figurative speech, certainly. Based upon their behavior that all men could see. And he tells us that this letter was written on their hearts. That's exactly what God desires in each one of us. It's the purpose of the written word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one." The reason they've overcome the evil one is not because they're young and strong, but it's because the word of God abides in you. It's in their heart. In that same chapter in verse 24, he says, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father." That word "abide" means to stay. Jesus spoke this truth in John 5 and verse 38, saying, "You do not receive His word, you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe Him who sent you." Obedient faith is how we have the word in us. Now, more memorable to most Christians is Colossians 3 and verse 16. This passage says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." This word "dwell" is from the Greek word meaning to inhabit. Let it be inside of you. Mr. Thayer goes on to say it means to dwell in one, to influence one. Christ's word has to find a home in our heart. We have to welcome His word in our heart, letting it richly dwell in us. Some will have this open, receptive heart, and some will not. That's why Jesus repeatedly says in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Not everybody's going to want to hear it or accept it. But those who do, you need to hear it and you need to take this into your heart, is what he's saying. The ones with the right heart will enjoy hearing the word of God. They'll long for it, welcome it in their heart, and they'll obey it. In John chapter 8 and verse 43, and again in verse 47, Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word." Verse 47, he says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God." Some folks aren't going to want to hear the word of God. They're not going to accept it into their heart. We have to have that right attitude. We also have to open our ears and listen. We have to make the time to listen and hear. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God knew the importance the authoritative written word would play in our lives and in our understanding. In His wisdom, He created this written word by inspiration to guide me and you. It's profitable for teaching that we might know his word. It's profitable for reproof that we might learn his judgments and come to fear him. It's profitable for correction that we might learn to turn away from our sin. And it's profitable for training in righteousness that we might obey him in all that he says. That's why we have the written word. That we may be adequate. This means complete. That we might be brought to a point of completion. That we might become what God wants us to be. That's why he gave the written word. And that we might be equipped for every good work. God's word is given for our benefit, that we may be righteous in his sight and able to accomplish all the good that he desires. So how much attention are we giving to what God has gone to all this trouble to write down and deliver to us in our hands? How much attention do you give to it? The Israelites were required to hear all of the law in a single reading once every 7 years. When's the last time you read all of the law? It's helpful for us to look at a Bible reading and read a little each day. Very much so. God gave us a big picture. I encourage you to find some time to set aside an hour or two and read a larger portion of Scripture. It's going to make an impression on your mind. God wants us to hear his word regularly, intimately, that it's in my heart and it's in my mouth. I'm so familiar with it, I know what it says. And I'm talking to others about it. If you can see this morning that the word of God is not written in your heart, that his words are in fact not in your heart, and that your service to him has been partial or hypocritical, you need to repent. Where sin's involved, the child of God is taught to repent and seek God's forgiveness. You need to decide to change and put forth the effort to change, doing the works that demonstrates your repentance. Hear the word of God. Learn it, read it, listen to it, in the preaching and the teaching, but more importantly, in what God has written. Place his word in your heart. Allow it to dwell within you. Learn to fear God and obey all that he commands. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 18, it says, "There is a setting aside of a former commandment, because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." We do not live under the old covenant of Moses, which we've read much from this morning, but we learn from it. Our hope is now in Jesus Christ. This is the better hope. Have you drawn near to God through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're told that we must believe he is the Son of God, repent of our sin, confess him before men, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. It's only then that we become the obedient child of God that will inherit eternal life that is promised by God. Only then, when we are in Christ, will we receive all the spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the gospel message, we encourage you to not delay. Come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage you.